So good morning, everyone. I want to start off this morning with a quote by Shabkar that Joseph often uses. It's one of my favorites. He says, "The mind is vivid as a flawless piece of crystal, intrinsically empty, naturally radiant, and ceaselessly responsive." So we'll do a meditation that puts us in touch with this natural, empty clarity, this spaciousness of mind. And I'll start just by inviting you to settle into your seat. Relax the belly, relax the shoulders, relax the jaw. And allowing the mind to open to sounds. So perhaps hearing ambient sound in the room. The sound of your breath. The sound of my voice. Letting sounds arise and dissipate in the open, empty space of the mind. Sounds passing like clouds in the sky. You might feel the mind open and vast. This quality of awareness that's like space. And letting sounds arise and pass. with awareness that has room to hold it all. And now we'll bring in body sensations also. So hearing sounds and feeling sensations as if they're arising in space. Like stars in the sky. No solid bodily form, just sensations in space. Letting go even of the concept of a body. No head, no shoulders, no arms, no belly, no legs. Just sensations like stars in the sky. And you might check your effort with this practice. It's really resting back into natural awareness. So notice if you're trying or pushing the practice. And settling back, relaxing into natural, intrinsic awareness. It's always here. So nothing to do, nothing to be, nowhere to go. Just allowing the flow of sensations, sounds, arise and pass in the space of the mind. And now opening to thoughts and images, letting them arise and pass in the open, empty sky of the mind. Sounds, sensations, thoughts and images. All arising and passing. With awareness that has room to hold it all. Very little effort required here. Just being simply being, and knowing the arising and passing of sounds, sensations, thoughts and images. Look directly at the mind. When we look, there's nothing to see. No shape, no color, no location. Just sounds and sensations and thoughts arising in open, empty, spacious mind. Rest naturally in this luminous mind, this open awareness. Nothing to do, nothing to be, nowhere to go. Allowing things to be just as they are. Look directly at the mind. No shape, no form, no color. And rest in this natural great awareness. Intrinsically empty, naturally radiant, and ceaselessly responsive. Feeling these qualities naturally here. Nothing to fabricate. Resting naturally. And letting the mind be wide open like the sky. When I ring the bell in a moment, allowing the sound to arise, sustain, and dissipate in this open, spacious mind. So good morning again. I had one question I wanted to address, and then we might have some time for other questions about the meditation. So this says, can you shed some light on loss that comes up when I practice mudita on a loved one? I have several things to say about that. The first is that often when we're doing any kind of Brahma Vihara practice, sometimes it's said that these heart practices are like running a magnet across your heart. And whatever's there, often the painful pieces, right, the metal shards of loss or grief or sadness or judgment, whatever's there, come out while we're doing that practice. So just to know this is really normal, to be expected, even a good sign. Right, it's sort of purification. And sometimes, you know, it's interesting, the Buddha talked about in the Satipatthana Sutta how this practice is the way to overcome sorrow, grief, and lamentation. So it's interesting because we might find these emotions coming up actually more powerfully in the practice. But I was talking to Joseph before the sit, and he was saying, you know, grief is just not accepting the feeling of loss. And the practice is really about working with, this is the feeling of loss, staying curious about that. The Buddha felt loss in his life when his top disciples, his dear friends, Sariputta and Moggallana, when they passed away, he said it was like the great boughs of a tree had been cut. But I imagine this Buddha mind with no edges, he didn't have any resistance to that feeling of loss. He was allowing it. Accepting that feeling. So that's really the process of working with grief is, can I accept this loss in my life? And with mudita practice, you know, we were trying to cultivate joy, so we might even have more resistance if what we're feeling is difficult. But just to know it's very natural and normal. It's all part of the practice. So are there any other questions? Yeah.
So I love that guided meditation and able to get into that space. And I found once we opened up, I couldn't find my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, you were guiding us to, you know, find points of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the points, and then when I opened up, I didn't have the points.
Mm-hmm. Is there a question?
So the question is, is it better to have your body located in the open awareness?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it beneficial?
Okay, great. Yeah, so the question is about, in that meditation, feeling like there wasn't much of a body there, feeling the points of sensation, but in the open awareness, no body. Body disappeared. And is that good? Should that happen? Or should you have some kind of location within the awareness? So I would say we're not really feeling, I mean, we're feeling the body, but the concept of a body, of a head and shoulders and arms, these are concepts, right? When we really get down to the bare sensations, they are just points of experience, right? So that's something that can really naturally happen in this practice over time, is especially in the walking meditation, right? We start to feel like there's not so much of a solid body there, but more spacious, just feelings. And I think that's in some ways where the practice is going, is starting to notice how we have concepts about the body, and that's very different from the felt experience of it, right? For me, sometimes it just feels like a symphony, right? All these different arisings, but less of the solid form. Yeah. Great. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about, I don't know if other people felt this, but the jerkiness that happens?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. And very aware, I had this formless feeling and then I would jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if my body was actually moving or I was just feeling it.
Yeah.
Can you address that?
So the question is about sometimes if we're meditating, the body jerks,
yes,
or there's a sense of jerking, not even sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so something might be happening in the mind, not really sure if the body's moving, but there's
sense of jerking
in the practice. Yeah. So often this can happen when our energy systems start responding to the practice, right? We're getting a little bit more settled and calm. Different things can happen with our energy in the body. So sometimes folks get very hot, or sometimes the body just starts moving on its own. Or maybe the body's not moving, but we feel this kind of jerking, or we feel something. Sometimes we feel very big or very small. So that's really just energy movements, experiences in meditation. And the trick is to notice the attitude about them. Because often we think, oh, we're doing really well if we have these sort of different, you know, strange feelings happening. Meditation's really working. And we go looking for them. Or fear, right, exactly. Or we feel, this is weird, you know, we feel anxious or nervous about what this means, that we never felt this way. So all of that is really good to know, right? To know, okay, this is how my mind and body are responding to the experience. And to just know it's very normal, very natural, yeah, part of the practice. So nothing to push away or to go out seeking for. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just like curious if I'm getting out of my body too much, because it's like almost like a gunshot or something.
Sure,
like
sure. Yep. So the question is about, as the mind is getting a little bit more settled or refined, there's a lot of sensitivity to sound, and so a sudden sound or something unexpected could kind of like surprise or startle or feel very strong. And is that maybe coming out of the body a little bit or feels unsettling? Yeah. So I was doing walking meditation in the woods a few years back. It was halfway through a long retreat and I felt the mind very concentrated. And it was in the fall and an acorn dropped right in front of me. And I jumped and I screamed. So startled, right? Because the mind was so settled. And I brought it to a teacher, actually, and she's like, well, you can keep that sense of really spaciousness while your mind is concentrated. So, and this happens, right? Everything kind of gets magnified sometimes when our mind is more gathered. So, again, very normal, very natural. You can notice how you're responding to it. Nothing wrong, right? It's part of the practice. It's a balance always, I find, between like that very refined sense of narrow focus and also allowing that space to hold whatever's happening, right? So that then we're not so surprised if something happens because their mind is very open and spacious in that way. You can kind of play around with that. Yeah, that's kind of what I do. There's different ways to do, you know, to play around with that narrow versus wide angle focus. Sometimes it's nice to stay with the same angle throughout a practice, throughout a session, right? When you're walking. But I really love to be playful, so I would just find what works for you. Yeah, be curious. Yeah.
During the, as my mind kind of opened up, especially to the kind of soundscape, I kind of almost saw the sounds. Mm. I almost had like a visual of where they were. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if that was me like adding stuff that I shouldn't be adding. Mm-hmm. And I should be trying not to do that, or if I should just kind of accept it.
Uh-huh. So this experience of opening to the soundscape. And then, say again? Oh, images.
Yeah, as sounds were coming in, I almost felt like I could see them.
Yeah, so...
And I wasn't sure if that was me kind of adding the images, adding the visualization of the sound.
Uh-huh.
And I should not be doing that.
Sure.
Or if it's fine.
Yeah, so this experience of having images connected with the sounds, like you could almost see them. And that is that the mind kind of trying to fabricate, or is that okay? So in this kind of practice, I think it's just an attitude of curiosity, like, wow, look what the mind is doing. There's all these different images arising, happening with sound. So I would allow that to happen in a natural way. But again, it's the attitude. So noticing if you like that and your mind is kind of leaning in and really like trying or, you know, looking for that to entertain, or whether it's just settled back, kind of like, okay, this is happening now, right? Allowing it to pass too if it stops. So it's that open, receptive attitude, nothing to change. This is just the mind doing its thing. Sometimes we're more visual, and so that can happen. But I'd say just curious and open around it. And it can be, there can be very subtle ways that we try to entertain ourselves if we're bored. So noticing that kind of, if there's a leaning in or there, you know, a little bit, just being open to that too, noticing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in the beginning of the guided, you spent some time talking about the, relaxing and having if you could just talk a little more about how to relax, because that's, striving has been retreat.
Yeah. So noticing striving mind and how to relax.
It was a word that you used that I can't remember how that really resonated to me, and I was just wondering how you describe this sense of not striving.
Yeah. There's several ways, you know. It's interesting when you say like relax. Relax. Relax, you know, it's like when we try to, it's even harder. So it's a balance, you know. Sometimes I find myself in instruction saying relax, and I'm like, okay, no, actually, whatever's happening is fine. So just noticing if there's that, like, relaxation is better than not relaxed, yeah. That the mind can set up these things, like, slower meditation is better than faster meditation, and so we can have these inherent set of beliefs about how we should be feeling when really whatever's here is here. And we do tend to strive, right? We tend to push. And so one metaphor I really like to use is, you know, when kids sometimes play, I've seen in other countries, with a tire, and they keep the tire rolling with a stick, right? And it doesn't take any effort hardly to keep the tire rolling. It's just like the most gentle tap, yeah? And that's the kind of the very light touch that we're going for in meditation, because the mind is already aware. It's already happening. So this is very light touching in gently. And just that light effort can help this sense of relaxation come with time. Like, okay, I don't actually have to make this happen. It's already happening. I'm just gently continuing in this way. Sometimes the metaphors that are used, especially with this open awareness, is like a hay bale. that's all tied up. And when we cut the strings, the straw just falls open. So it's that sense of really just like, ugh. Yeah. Sometimes even like slouching a little bit in my body helps with the mind, like letting go of the effort and just letting things be. Or sometimes like a snake that's tied in a knot, naturally unfolding, uncurling. Yeah, uncoiling. So it's that sense, like our mind is all coiled up and we're just like, ugh. Drop, you know, letting it be. And the other last thing I'll say about that is sometimes this is framed as non-meditation, right? Like the most interesting time is when the bell rings and we're like, oh, phew, I'm done. That's the attitude. That's the mind, right? That's it, actually. When we stop meditating, that's. So you can play around with this instruction, non-meditation, actually. Or non, it's non-meditation and non-distraction, right? We're not getting lost. But we also don't have to put that added effort. We can just be like a hay bale that's cut, like, just here. Nothing special. So I hope that helps. Yeah. Yeah, so we have time for a very quick, short question. Is it short, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay.
The 45-minute length of these meditations, is that a conscious length that you guys think is optimal? And those of us that have busy lives and try to squeeze in these meditations, is there a length that we should be targeting?
Yeah, so is 45 minutes a magical formula for meditation? Yes. Only 45 minutes, no longer or shorter. I mean, others might actually know more about this. It's always just the way that it's done. And also not, right? Sometimes there's half hour sits. I think in your daily life it can be any amount, right? One teacher says 1 minute counts. So I don't know that there's anything special about 45 minutes, but it tends to be a good rhythm and retreat. So you can see how your mind responds. Often, I think, we just get habituated and then feel like, okay, 45 minutes is good. But, yeah. So thank you all. I hope you have a beautiful day of practice. We have walking and group interviews this morning. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.